This morning, I want to share a simple truth with you. It's simple, but it's a truth that will change your life, change our life, if we just live in it. It's not a new truth. It's a truth that everyone here knows, but it's a truth that most Christians don't think enough about, and because we don't do that, it doesn't impact our lives the way that it should. It's a truth that's repeated throughout the Bible, but the first time it appears, it comes from a strange source. Because the first time that it appears, it's not given by one of the great men of the Bible or even one of the great women of the Bible. I mean, it doesn't come from a man like Moses or Elijah or Daniel or David or Peter or Paul. It doesn't come from Sarah. It doesn't come from Ruth. It doesn't come from Mary. It doesn't come from many of the familiar, famous, great men and women that are included in Hebrews chapter 11, where the Hall of Faith is listed. This truth first appears in the Bible in the 16th chapter of Genesis, and it comes from a little Egyptian slave girl named Hagar. You see, in the first part of the Bible, in the Old Testament, God revealed himself to us, to man. And when I mean revealed himself, he told us who he is and what he's like. He revealed that by the different names that he took upon himself, the different names that people gave him. Names like the one that's in my words this morning in the bulletin, Jehovah Jireh. Names like Mighty God. Names like Everlasting Father. Now, in the New Testament, when Jesus came, God showed us what he was like by the person of Christ. I mean, he reminded Philip in John chapter 14, "If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." And Jesus says, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." As you've gotten to know me, you've gotten to know the Father. Although Jesus continued in the New Testament what God started in the Old Testament by taking to himself different names that reveals more to us about God, more to us about Jesus. He was called the Prince of Peace, the Good Shepherd, the Door, the Way, the Truth, the Life, and many, many other names in the New Testament. And so God, one of the ways he tells us about himself was the different names that he took on. And in Genesis chapter 16, where we have part of the story of Hagar, we get one of those names. We get the truth, and she saw the truth that I want to share with you this morning, and that truth changed her life, and that truth will change our life. Again, we all know it. We just need to live it and live in it every single day of our life. Most of you know the details of the story. God had promised Abraham that through him he was going to bless the whole earth. And he was going to have a lot of descendants. His descendants were going to be like the sands of the sea. They were going to be like the stars in the sky. There was going to be so many of them you couldn't count them. And so God made this promise to Abraham and to Sarah, his wife, that he was going to bless them and they were going to have just lots and lots of descendants. And they waited and they waited and they waited and they waited. And they got older, and they got well past the age of childbearing, and so they got a little bit impatient waiting on God. And so Sarah one day woke up and said, "Abe, I've got an idea. We're both getting old. We're both past the age where normal people have children. Why don't you take my slave girl, Hagar, and we'll have this promised nation, this nation that God has promised us, we'll start having it through her." Now, Abraham should have went to God. He should have got God's mind on this matter. God already had a plan, and God was working that plan. And anytime we get ahead of God, anytime we get impatient and fail to let God work out his plan, we get in trouble. And that's what happened to Abraham and Sarah. And so Abraham listened to his wife. I mean, men, if you ever wanted a scripture to back up where you didn't want to do what your wife told you, just go back to Genesis chapter 16 and say, look at here, Abraham listened to his wife and look at all the trouble he got in. And we're still in that same trouble today. I mean, we're paying the price today. Most of the time you ought to listen to them because they know more than we do, but sometimes, you know, you got to claim the scripture. But anyhow, so instead of seeking God's direction, Abraham listened to Sarah. He went into Hagar. They had a little baby boy named Ishmael. Again, that was a mistake, and a mistake we're still paying for today because Ishmael was the father of all the Arabs, and the Jews and the Arabs have been fighting ever since. But something happened after Hagar had that little boy. Something that Sarah had not planned on. Something that she didn't think about when she had this idea. You see, when she saw Ishmael, she got, and Hagar with that little boy, she got a little bit jealous. And she got upset. And because she was jealous and upset, she started mistreating Hagar. And Hagar was afraid that Sarah was going to kill her, and so she ran for her life. I mean, she was pregnant, and she just, and by the way, this was before she had the little boy. Let me back up. This is before she had the little boy. Sarah got jealous while she was still pregnant, and she mistreated Hagar, and Hagar ran away because she thought Sarah was going to kill her. And she got tired in her trek away from Abraham and Sarah, and she sat down by a well. And an angel of the Lord appeared to her by that well, and here's what he told her. He said, Hagar, I'm going to bless you. You are going to have a little baby. It's going to be a baby boy. I want you to name him Ishmael, and he's going to be a great man, and I'm going to bless him. I want you to go back to Abraham and Sarah. Submit yourself to Sarah. I want you to go back and not run away. Don't be afraid. I've got my eye on you. I'm watching you. So the angel left. And then it hit Hagar what had happened. She saw and gave God a name that conveys the truth that changed her life and the truth that will change our life. We read about it a moment ago in verse 13. Let me read it again. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Here I also have looked after him that seeth me. And here's the truth. Here's the truth I want to remind you of this morning. The truth that's simple yet wonderful. The truth that will change every day of our life if we'll live in it. Here it is. There is a God in heaven that sees us. There is a God in heaven that knows who we are, where we are, what we're doing, what's going on in our life. And if we could just get that fact, that truth, into our minds and into our hearts, it'll change our life. If we could just see the same thing that Hagar saw on that day that she rested by the well, if we could say in our minds and our hearts, Thou God seest me. Thou God seest me. That truth brings three blessings into our life. First of all, it brings the blessing of conviction. The blessing of conviction. In verses 7 and 8 of Genesis chapter 16, the Bible says, And the angel of the Lord found her, Hagar, by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. Hagar was running away. She had no idea where she was going. She didn't have a plan. She didn't have a destination in mind. She just knew that she needed to get away from Sarah. And so God found her and saw her, and the fact that God saw her convicted her. I have two comments. First of all, to those that are here that don't know Jesus as your Savior, and then to all the Christians that are here. God sees the unsaved and seeks after them. Listen to me. God sees the unsaved and comes after them. I want to remind you this morning, Hagar was not a Hebrew. She was an Egyptian. She came from a land that worshiped many false gods. As an Egyptian, she worshiped those false gods. She did not know the God of Abraham. I mean, maybe she heard Abraham pray, and maybe she watched Abraham as he offered sacrifices to his God. And she knew that that God was Abraham's God, but she also knew that that God was not her God. Was not her God. And when she realized that Abraham's God saw her, when she realized that Abraham's God knew what was going on in our life, it convicted her. Because she said, I never went looking for him. I never sought after Abraham's God. I never worshiped Abraham's God. He is Abraham's God, but he's not my God. But even though he's not my God, and even though I never went looking for him, he came looking for me. He sees me. He found me. I want to remind you of something today. If you're here today and you're saved, you did not get saved because you went looking for God. You are saved this morning because God went looking for you, and he saw you, and he found you. We didn't seek him. The Bible says there is none that seeketh after righteousness. But the Son of God, that's why he left heaven, to come and seek and to save that which was lost. And if you're saved this morning, you praise God that you got a God that when you were lost, when you were in sin, when you had nothing to do with God and didn't call upon his name, didn't even care if he existed, he came looking for you, and he saw you, and he found you. The story is told in John chapter 1 about a man by the name of Nathanael. He was going to be a disciple of Jesus. Let me read from John chapter 1. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Now, here was Nathanael. He was a Jew. He was looking for the Messiah. He had never met Jesus. Nathanael had a friend named Philip, and Philip met Jesus, and Philip said to himself, hey, this is the one we're looking for. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. I've got to tell my buddy Nathanael. And so he went to Nathanael and said, Nathanael, we found him. We found him. We found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, hey, there's nothing good come out of Nazareth. He's not the Messiah. And Philip said, just come and see. Come and see. And so Nathanael said, it's a waste of time, but I'll go. And so they came to where Jesus was, and Jesus saw him coming, and he said to Nathanael, never met him before, said, there's an Israelite in whom there's no guile, a truthful man, an honest man. And Nathanael said, how can you say that about me? You don't know me. And Jesus said to Nathanael, hey, when you were sitting under the fig tree where Philip found you, before he came to you, I saw you. I knew where you were. I knew what you were looking for in your life. I came looking for you. And Nathanael says, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You see, we have a God that sees us where we are, even when we are lost, even when we want nothing to do with him. He sees us, and he brings to us the gospel. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know something. There is a God in heaven this morning that seest you. He knows that you're here. He knows that you need to hear that you are a sinner. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He knows that you're here and wants you to hear that there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. And that penalty is to be separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. And he wants you to hear the good news of this book, that he sent his only begotten son to walk and live on the face of this earth. And he lived here for 33 some years without sin. So he qualified to be our sacrifice, God's sacrifice, to pay for our sin. And when he went to the cross, God laid on him every one of your sins. And Jesus paid the price for it. He died and paid the price for it. Bible says, but God proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because he did, he was able to offer us a gift, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God knew you were going to be here this morning. He knew you needed to hear the gospel. You need to hear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to hear, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I know maybe you came here this morning for a different reason. Maybe you think, I'm just here by chance. I mean, it's just the coincidence that I am here. No, it's not. No, it's not. There's a God in heaven that loves you. There's a God in heaven that sees you. There's a God in heaven that will give you enough faith today to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's why you are here. It is part of God's plan, because he sees you and he loves you. And the fact that there's a God in heaven that sees you ought to convict you like it did Hagar to say, I am going to get saved. I need the Savior. But it also, the fact that God in heaven seeth us, also ought to convict the saved people that are here this morning. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord behold the evil and the good. The fact that God seeth us ought to remind us that God sees how we're living. He sees the choices that we make. He sees when temptation comes into our life and we say to ourselves, well, I'm all by myself. Nobody will ever know that if I do this or not. And I'll remind you this morning, yes, there is. There is somebody that will know. God will know. Because there is a God in heaven that sees us. He hears every word we say. He knows every thought we think. You know, we sing that little song with the kids sometimes. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little hands, what you do. You know what? Let us sing that song to the adults. Because we need to remember that there is a God in heaven that sees everything that we do, and it ought to convict us to live a holy life, a life that's pleasing to him. I was thinking about this. Let me ask you. Let's say next week that I worked out a plan so that I could be with you every day, every hour of every day. Your pastor could come and just spend the whole week with you. What would change? Would you get along with your spouse better if the pastor was going to be there with you all the time? Would you watch less TV? Would you read the Bible more? Oh, the pastor's here. We got to read the Bible more. Would you gossip less? Now, I'm not going to come spend the week with you because I'd probably have to change more things than you would. You being with me. But listen, there is somebody that spends every moment of every day with us. There is a God in heaven that sees everything we do, and it ought to convict us to live a life that's pleasing to him. So, thou God seest me brings a blessing of conviction. Number two, it brings a blessing of comfort. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. God came to Hagar, and he said, Hagar, I know what you're going through. I know how Sarah is treating you. I see you. I want you to know, Hagar, that I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. I'm going to take care of your son Ishmael. He's going to be a great man. Don't worry. I see what you're going through. I'll take care of you. Same truth taught in Exodus chapter 2. God said he saw the reproach of the children of Israel as they were slaves in Egypt. He saw their suffering. He saw what they were going through, and the Bible said he had respect unto them. And here's what he said. He said, "Those are my kids. Those are my kids. My eyes are upon them. I'm going to send them a deliverer." And that's when Moses came on the scene. I'll remind you this morning that God hasn't changed. He's still the same today. God sees when you're left alone because the one you loved for so many years has gone to heaven ahead of you. He sees when the doctor comes in and says, I don't know what else we can do. God sees when a child takes a wayward turn and mom and dad pray and pray and pray and weep and weep and weep, but that child doesn't come back. God sees when a spouse is unfaithful and breaks the vows of marriage and leaves you alone. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. How can he care for you? Because he knows what you are going through. There's the things that happen in your life, they don't surprise God. I mean, you don't voice your prayer to heaven and God say, oh yeah, I didn't notice that. No. He knows. He knows. He knows the loneliness you feel. He knows the sadness you feel. He knows the pain that you feel. And I'll just remind you this morning, when no one else seems to care, God cares. When no one else is there for you, he is there. When no one else sees what you're going through, he knows. He knows what you're going through. Thou, God, seest me. It ought to bring conviction. It ought to bring comfort. And then number three, it ought to bring courage. Verse 9, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, Hagar, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. Hagar had run away from Sarah because she was afraid Sarah was going to kill her because she was jealous. And now God says, I want you to go back. I want you to submit yourself to Sarah. You say that would take courage. I mean, she was afraid. That's why she left in the first place. You're right. But when she got a hold of this truth, thou, God, seest me. She went back home. She submitted herself to Sarah. She had that little boy named Ishmael. She did exactly what God told her to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, Moses is talking to the children of Israel. He was talking to them about going into the promised land. He wasn't going to get to go because he had disobeyed God, and somebody else was going to have to lead him into the promised land. And he encouraged them with the same truth. He said, for the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. For the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even until the end of the year. Moses was saying, look, there's a God in heaven that has his eye not only on the land, but on you. He's got his eyes on you from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. He's got his eyes on you every day. Now have courage. Go in and take the land. Go in and claim the promise that God has given you. Yeah, there's going to be battles. Yeah, you're going to have to fight. Yeah, you're going to have to defeat the enemy. But take courage, because there is a God in heaven that seest you. And so I ask you this morning, what's God asked you to do? Where has he asked you to serve? Has he asked you to do something and you say, I can't do that, God. I can't do that. And I would just tell you this morning, yes, you can. Because God never asks us to do anything without giving us the ability to do it and the courage to do it. So what's he ask you to do? Just remember, there's a God in heaven that sees you. Take courage and do it. The Bible states this truth over and over in many different places. It states it in different words. It says, for example, in Psalm 34, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. In Proverbs chapter 15, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Psalm 11, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. It's not a new truth. You knew this before you came here this morning, that there's a God in heaven that seest you. But let's live in it. Let's just grab a hold of it and give it into our hearts and our minds. Thou, God, seest me. Thou, God, seest me. And he's got his eyes on us. He never, ever takes his eyes off of us. You're here today. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That truth ought to convict you. He had you here today for a reason. For a reason, for a purpose. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, his reason is for you to hear the gospel again and ask Jesus to be your Savior. Say, hey, preacher, this is only the second time I've been here. It doesn't matter. And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join the church. I think both of those things are pretty good things to do. But if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the first thing you need to do is receive him. Receive him. And the fact that he has his eye on you and brought you here today and will give you enough faith. The Bible says he deals to every man a measure of faith, enough faith to get saved. In just a moment, you ought to come down and you ought to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian, the fact that he sees us ought to convict us to live a life that's pleasing to him. It ought to comfort us because he knows what's going on, never takes his eye off of us. And it ought to give us courage. Thou, God, seest me. What a wonderful truth. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that truth. Thank you that you're that kind of God, that you have your eyes on us. You know what's going on in our life. And I pray, Father, for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray that they could understand they're a sinner and there is a penalty for that sin. But Jesus paid the price for them. And if they come this morning and receive him, he'll save them from that penalty. He'll save them. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to grab hold of this truth and live in it every day of our life. Thou, God, seest me. Bless this time of invitation. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient to do what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.